Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a mix of issues to report here before I bring in my special guest. Rolf Lindgren is back. Rolf, I'm delighted to have you here, Rolf. I'm going to make a few comments here before I bring you in. I'm simply delighted. These include that Ukrainian special forces are getting military targets from CIA satellite. This is very, very serious because it means the United States is directly involved in the killing of Russian troops. That's not going to go down well with Vladimir Putin. We also have NATO preparing a Ukrainian army for offensive. Sources I have suggest this is a massive force they're assembling here. I'm afraid it's going to require Russia to use some weapons it may not have used before, not necessarily tactical nukes, which I doubt, but rather something called thermobaric weapons that are very, very devastating. I'm sorry to say this whole business is going to expose the antiquated character of NATO. That NATO, I doubt very much, is going to survive. Meanwhile, in New York, we have the DA responding by claiming that Trump created the false expectation of arrest, a false expectation of arrest. Trump had very, very good sources, and I have no doubt that was the plan. I think it was upended by this attorney for Michael Cohen coming in and giving 600 pages of information that contradicted the testimony he'd been given to the grand jury, plus the fact that Congress was taking a keen interest. It turns out of the 600 pages that this district attorney selected like 6 pages only. He cherry-picked those that would be consistent with his report. I think this might be sufficient to have him not only removed from office, but actually disbarred from the practice of law. Fairly stunning stuff. And we have an update finally on Mitch McConnell, who took a serious fall here recently, has been hospitalized. He may even be suffering from brain damage. Now, those of you who have been following my reports about January 6th, and have learned that Mitch McConnell and Mike Pence were both involved with Nancy Pelosi and with Chuck Schumer in ensuring that the contrived insurrection would disrupt discussion of any voting fraud, election theft, and so forth, so that the motions never made it onto the floor in order to bribe a legal basis for appealing to the Supreme Court, because absent those motions, there was no legal foothold. Yet the case was not grounded as it needed to be legally. So this was an extremely cleverly designed event. And then when the Congress reconvened, Nancy Pelosi was in charge, and those motions to suspend or pause to review the votes as they were being submitted was lost forever to history. Forever to history. Stunning stuff. I'm very happy to have Rolf Lindgren with me here today. And if Rolf is willing to join early, though we'd originally talked about at bottom of the hour, I'm delighted, Rolf. We've got all kinds of voting. There's a fascinating pattern here, which shows that Trump is increasing his lead over DeSantis on virtually a weekly basis. It's grown and grown and grown from 18 points at 26 points at 31. I've seen some showing.
Come on early.
Yeah, you're good, Rolf. I'm glad you're here. I've seen some polls showing Trump having as much as a 41-point lead over DeSantis. Your thoughts?
Okay, well, I don't think that DeSantis has a ghost of a chance of beating Trump. Don't get me wrong, I like DeSantis, and he's the second best Republican out there, but he's not as good as Trump. Trump is the real deal. Trump is the guy who can fight the deep state to the death. And, you know, the idea of Trump getting arrested right now, which I've seen back and forth, whether Trump could be just trolling people, which is all, in some ways almost as funny as getting arrested. The charges against Trump are pretty weak. In fact, they're worse than pretty weak. They're so weak that it's a complete joke. And of course, they wouldn't even be doing this unless they were going after Trump, or if it was Trump's friends, I suppose they would do it too. But I just read a mainstream analysis this morning on the charges against Trump, and they made it sound like, well, maybe it's a good case, and then another, well, maybe it's not a good case. You know, I mean, the problem, of course, is that it's a terrible case. And if he does get arrested, it's just going to put Trump into the same stratosphere as other great, famous people of history who Trump is rapidly arise. You know, if Trump gets reelected, he's going to be one of the most famous people in world history, and he's going to be right up there with Socrates, Jesus, Joan of Arc, and Galileo, who all were persecuted by the government. Jesus was put on the cross. Socrates was made to drink the hemlock. Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. And Galileo was forced to kneel to the Inquisition and then put on life in custody. And then he died. So the fact is that bogus charges against the most famous people in the world don't work. It might work against other people, but it won't work against Trump. It'll help Trump, and it'll not just help Trump in the primary, it'll help him in the general election, because average people, and also I've noticed that the polling shows that lower income people are the people gravitating towards Trump. And guess who the most likely people are to be arrested? Low-income people. Low-income people don't like to get hassled by the government. They hate it, and they can't afford to deal with it. And they're gravitating to Trump because Trump is standing up against a tyrannical government. The government should be arresting real criminals, like robbers, rapists, muggers, thieves, and murderers. That's who the government should be arresting, not this technical stuff where Trump supposedly violated Section 175 of some code. He supposedly labeled his reimbursement to Cohen as a legal expense? Well, first of all, if it's not a legal expense, then what is it? He paid his lawyer some money. Isn't that a legal expense? If Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti are trying to extort money from the Trump Corporation, and then you pay extortion money, isn't that a legal expense as well? And according to the lawyer for Michael Cohen's lawyer and two witnesses in contemporaneous notes, Michael Cohen said he's never been reimbursed for that payment. And also he said that he didn't even tell Trump that he did it. $130,000 is in many ways chunk change for Trump. And Michael Cohen said he might have just told Trump, "I'll take care of it," and then paid the money. And then he asked for his payments. He gets paid by Trump. They pay him a lot of money. At least they did. So how do we even know what happened? According to Michael Cohen, that's what actually did happen. Okay, and they raided Michael Cohen's office, right? Remember that? Even though there's something called attorney-client privilege. Well, did they find any documents at that time? As far as we know, they leak everything they have. So as far as we know, they haven't found anything that shows that there even was a reimbursement. How do we even know there was one? There certainly wasn't a payment made of $130,000 to Michael Cohen. That's for sure. So then they're going to have to say, well, they structured the reimbursements or something. That's what they're going to argue. But how do they know that? They're just saying that. They don't have any proof. And Michael Cohen is a terrible witness. He's been convicted of lying to the government, lying under oath, all kinds of lies. He's also a snitch. He snitched out his friend for no reason. So he's a rat. He's a person who can't be believed. They have to have corroborating evidence, and they probably don't have – the only evidence they probably have is that Michael Cohen was paid money by the Trump company. Okay, well, of course he was being paid money by the Trump company. He was his lawyer. He was a lawyer. Oh, and then the liberal media, they'll say, well, there was no retainer agreement. That's what they say. No retainer agreement. They make it sound like that helps the prosecution, but it doesn't help the prosecution because obviously Michael Cohen was working as Trump's lawyer because he was making legal statements. In fact, the fact there's no retainer agreement is actually good for Trump. Why? Because there's no clause in the retainer agreement that they can cite that says this is the reason why Trump had to pay back Michael Cohen because of the retainer agreement. If there's no retainer agreement, there's no clause that the prosecution could cite to say that this is the reason why Trump paid him back. There is no such clause in the retainer agreement because there is no retainer agreement between Trump and Michael Cohen. That's another problem for the prosecution. Then you have the statute of limitations. Well, section 175 has a 2-year statute of limitations and it's a misdemeanor. Well, this happened in 2016. Okay, well, wait, no, they said if you violate section 175 to facilitate another crime, and I think they mean a serious crime, I don't know the exact text, then it's a 5-year statute of limitations and a felony. But 2016 is 7 years ago, so maybe it isn't. Maybe it's still past the statute of limitations. So maybe these payments were made back. Maybe the payments were made in 2017 and 2018. I think what the prosecution is going to do is cite a $50,000 payment to Michael Cohen in 2018 and claim that payment is part of the reimbursement of the $130,000. That's what the government's going to claim, but they can't prove that. So then you're going to have a big court case just over the statute of limitations. When did this crime actually occur? When did it occur? In 2016, 2017, 2018, whatever. Who knows? So the whole case is filled with problems, one problem after another. Another problem, of course, is that paying Stormy Daniels money is not a crime. It's not a crime. Okay? She's the one. If anyone's committing a crime, it's she is. She is trying to extort money. Because of whatever she did with Trump, it doesn't sound like she did very much, because she said she didn't have an affair with him in a statement. She said that they didn't have an affair. What did they do? They walked through the building and held hands or something? Is that what they did? Is that really that bad? And this happened in 2006, by the way. She was hitting on Trump, and Trump put his hand on her or something, or she put her hands on Trump. I mean, she signed a statement. She already lost the case. She's supposed to pay Trump $300,000. In fact, Trump is the only guy I know who makes the hookers pay him. Unbelievable. Those are the facts. And the idea that this is a crime there's already court precedent that says if you make a payment for something that you would have to pay, whether you're a candidate or not, then it's not a campaign donation. So, for example, let's say you owed property taxes. Let's say that you had a campaign advisor and they said, well, you know what, you better pay those property taxes, otherwise it'll look bad when you run for office. So let's say you took campaign money and paid your property taxes. You think that's legal? No, it isn't. It's not legal. You can't use campaign money to pay personal expenses, and paying off your property taxes is a personal expense, and paying extortion money to Michael Avenatti is also a personal expense. It's not a campaign expense. We also had the John Edwards case, and some people can cite that as evidence, but here's how the twisted thinking of prosecutors. A twisted prosecutor will actually cite the John Edwards case in their favor. They'll say, well, the jury verdict is not precedent, which is true, okay? Also, they'll say, well, the trial judge approved the charges and said that this was, you know, agreed that it was a campaign offense. The trial judge approved it, okay? And then, of course, the appellate judge, there was no appellate judge because John Edwards was never guilty. So it never went to an appellate judge. So that the prosecution can, I suppose they can claim that there's no case law that this is a campaign donation. But of course there is case law that says if you make personal expenses that you would have to pay anyway, then it's not a campaign expense. That's case law. It's not specific to this, but it's pretty close. Another thing is that in the John Edwards case, or not in the John Edwards case, in the Cohen case, Cohen actually, you may not know this, Cohen, when he pleaded guilty, and this is a clever tactic by dastardly prosecutors, this is Robert Miller, Cohen pled guilty to a standalone campaign finance crime. Did you know that? One of the crimes that Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to was making an unreported campaign donation to Stormy Daniels. Okay, now here's the here's why this is clever by prosecutors. Because he pled guilty to the charge, it's obviously not going to be appealed, right? So there's no appeals court saying that's not a campaign donation. You see, because he never appealed it. Okay, so that the prosecution in New York can say, well, look at that. Michael Cohen pled guilty to a campaign donation. Therefore, it must be a crime, right? But here's the problem with that. Michael Cohen pled guilty to a standalone campaign donation. In other words, he said that he paid Stormy Daniels. That he did not plead guilty to a conspiracy or there's no unindicted co-conspirator. That means that the charge itself against Michael Cohen that he's convicted of is consistent with the statement that he didn't tell Trump. That's right. You get that? According to the crime that Michael Cohen pled guilty to, he did not tell Trump. Otherwise, it would have been a conspiracy charge. Now, of course, the government can come around and say, well, he didn't say it wasn't a conspiracy. You see, they can argue that too. So lawyers have ways of twisting people's words. But the fact is that he pled guilty to a standalone crime. According to the current theory, he was directed to pay that money. Well, if he was directed to pay the money by Trump, then why would he be guilty of that other crime? If he was just doing what Trump told him to do. And of course, normally when you have a lawyer, the lawyer tells you what to do, right? Now, you have to approve the lawyer's actions. But if you have a legal problem and you call your lawyer up and your lawyer says, here's what you should do, and you say, okay, let's do that, and then you do it, it's not really you breaking the law. If you're just following your lawyer's advice, it's really not against the law. That's another problem with their case, is that Michael Cohen is the one giving Trump the legal advice. Okay? That's what he's supposed to do. In fact, almost all the cases against Trump involve this. Trump has a lawyer fighting the election results in Georgia. Somehow that's illegal. Trump has lawyers fighting the J6 cases. Oh, that's illegal. See, what they're doing is they're trying to go after Trump's lawyers, and this is why Alan Dershowitz has been so vocal about the attorney-client privilege provisions. Is it in a police state, you do not have attorney-client privilege, you see? Because in a police state, what lawyer would want to defend somebody, right? Why would you want to defend anybody in a police state? Because then the police can go after the lawyer who defended and came up with a legal strategy, and it can get into your, can raid your house or raid your office. They can do that. That's what they're doing now. And we're getting closer and closer to an actual police state. In fact, when it comes down to really important things, like who's the president of the United States, we're almost already in a police state. Think about it. The most important events in the United States are the least free. Think back to JFK being assassinated. Okay, people voted for JFK. He had 70% approval ratings, and then one day he was dead. We lost the president, and we got stuck with one of the worst presidents of all time, Lyndon Johnson. Think about the Pearl Harbor attack, where Roosevelt knew it was coming. We had broken the codes. We knew it was coming. And Roosevelt wanted us to get into the war. Instead of persuading the American people to get in the war with actual arguments that were truthful, they had to fabricate and let the Japanese attack. And then think of other big events, like 9/11. Think of all the crap we got from 9/11. Like, we got the Patriot Act, which is one of the things they're using to spy on Trump right now. Robert Mueller used the Patriot Act. Okay? Well, we were told back then, that's only to fight the terrorists. By the way, did you know that President Trump got rid of Section 215 of the Patriot Act? How many people even know about that? Most people don't know about that. But Trump got rid of it.
Remind us of the content. What was the content of that section, Rolf?
That was the section that, I think it had to do with spying on your library books and things like that. And it was the section that was renewable. And if you remember, Rand Paul used to do filibusters on the Patriot Act because it was renewable. And what happened was, I believe this was in the fall of 2020, when they were fighting over some bill, Trump told McConnell, don't put the Patriot Act in the bill, or I'm going to veto it. So Pelosi signed a bill that included in the bill a renewal of the Patriot Act, and she sent it over to McConnell. But McConnell didn't approve it. They never voted on it, so it died. So therefore, the Patriot Act authorization for Section 215 expired. I don't know everything that's in there, but I know that it had to do with the lone wolf so-called lone wolf terrorist provision, and it gave authority to spy on people that has expired, and they're probably still trying to sneak it back in some way, but apparently they haven't been able to do it yet. Because more people know about the spying now, less people approve of this stuff. Because when the government claims they only do it on terrorists or something, people don't believe them anymore. That's the problem, and that's because of Trump. If it wasn't for Trump, we wouldn't be in the situation where people have woken up to what's really happened. When I say woken up, I mean the good kind of woken up, not the new woke crap that they're pushing in our schools. Not that kind of woke, but I'm talking about people who know what's going on. They know that the Patriot Act is being used to spy on people. People know that. So as far as the case against Trump, I don't even know if they're really going to charge him or not. I mean, some people think that if they charge Trump here, then they'll charge him in a whole bunch of other places. And then, of course, the argument is, well, he must be guilty of something. He's been charged five times or whatever. You know how they do that when they charge someone with 10 counts and the jury's like, well, he must be guilty of something. I mean, he couldn't be possibly innocent of all 10 counts, maybe one or two, maybe even eight or nine, but not all 10. That's what they want you to think. Of course, the reality is that you could be innocent of all 10 counts. If the government accuses you of 10 bogus charges, there's a good chance that you're innocent of all 10 charges. And the charges that we've heard about Trump, they jump around. It's like the shell game. Okay. We how many different things is he being accused of? Violating the emoluments clause. Remember that one? Since when do the Democrats even care about the text of the Constitution anyway? But they care about that emoluments clause, I'll tell you. And then there's the Georgia case where Trump supposedly said, can you find some votes? Well, first of all, that quote is not on tape. We don't know if that's an accurate quote. All Trump may have said was, well, maybe there's uncounted votes. Can we find the uncounted votes? Well, what's wrong with saying something like that? You know, it's a nothing burger. Then you had the case. We have the case in New York where they claim he overstated his value on a bank loan. Well, he writes in all of his loan applications, this is what we believe the value is. You guys can do your own appraisal and figure it out. That's how everybody does it, probably, especially when you're talking about million-dollar properties. I used to do mortgages for residential, and we'd have an appraisal, and sometimes the lender would do an appraisal, you know. So it's, as long as you don't fabricate information, you know, you're not breaking the law. And the bank, if the banks want to make a loan, you know, they used to call that predatory lending. If Trump really didn't have enough assets to pay the loan, and they still loaned him the money anyway, wouldn't that be predatory lending? Oh, that would be the bank's fault, see? But everything has always got to be Trump's fault.
Rolf, hold that thought. We'll be right back with Rolf Lundgren after this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Rolf, during conversations you and I have had about this matter, you made the point that it was Cohen who paid Stormy and that Trump had not reimbursed Cohen, which means Trump had not even ever paid off her for this absurd situation.
Well, I just saw a new article that came out by Jonathan Turley, and he says that one of the reasons why the case they haven't charged Trump is that apparently there's 300 emails that contradict what Cohen said. So Cohen said that he paid Stormy and didn't tell Trump. That's what he said. And then he said, no, that's not true. But then they found 300 emails where he did, which contradict his testimony that he did tell Trump. And then he said another letter to the Federal Elections Commission has just surfaced on behalf of Cohen that also said the same thing. Is that, in other words, when the feds were investigating this a few years ago, and at that time Cohen said that he didn't tell Trump. So now all of a sudden he says that he did tell Trump, okay? But there's no actual evidence there's no evidence of that besides the evidence, if you count it as evidence, is that Michael Cohen says that he did tell Trump, you see. So the whole thing is a joke. As far as physical evidence, like a payment to Cohen, there apparently when they raided Cohen's office, they did not find that. They did find payments to Cohen, but Cohen was, of course, being paid by Trump because he was a lawyer for Trump, right? And like I said in the earlier interview, I said, I think they found payments of $50,000 here and there to Cohen, but how do they know which one is the for the $130,000, because these are payments for legal expenses, right? Legal expenses. Well, Trump probably paid Cohen a lot more than $50,000 to work on, you know, legal cases, including things like Stormy Daniels, right? So, or Michael Avenatti. Maybe I should start referring to as Michael Avenatti. The guy's already, he's in prison for extortion right now, you know. So the case is incredibly weak. Even the media, if you read a CNN version of it, they say it's Trump may be charged in a scheme to hide hush money to Stormy Daniels. So they make it sound, first of all, they make it sound like there is a scheme. They say there's a scheme. How do we know there's a scheme? Right? They just say that there's a scheme. Well, you know, well, we don't know that yet. That's because that's what you're called, innocent unless proven guilty. And then, of course, they call it hush money. They don't call it, you know, submitting to an extortion demand. They call it hush money. So then, he must have tried to hide it because it was hush money, right? And then, of course, they have to bring up Stormy Daniels because they think that they're going to get women, make women outraged against Trump because some, you know, blonde chick hit on him 17 years ago and maybe he held hands with her or something. Who knows what happened? But what did happen, we don't know. But it's, what we do know is that Trump did not commit a crime, and one of the reasons why Trump has not been charged yet is probably because there's probably people, you know, even someone like George Soros, I could see he might. What if he calls up the prosecutor and says, you know, you better not charge Trump, it'll help Trump. You see, because the only reason they really want to charge Trump is they want to hurt Trump. Right? They don't really care about whether he broke the law or not. They don't care. They don't care at all. All they care about is hurting Trump. So if charging Trump helps Trump, then they wouldn't want to charge him, would they? Right?
Right.
Now, some people think that charging Trump would help him in the primary but hurt him in the general. Okay? That's what a lot of people want you to believe. But This is the same crap we get in lots of races. Remember when Ron Paul was running? Oh, Ron Paul can't win, right? That's what we were told. Mitt Romney, he can win, and John McCain, they can win, but not Ron Paul, right? Remember that? And you know, even in our Supreme Court race. And by the way, I want to urge any listeners out there to please support Dan Kelly and vote for Dan Kelly for the Supreme Court. He's running against a woke liberal who would take away your gun rights, take away, you know, your right to, you know, the voter ID law, and probably rule against, you know, against you on everything. Drop boxes, I'll vote for drop boxes, everything. Dan Kelly is a constitutional conservative for Supreme Court. When he was running in the primary, there were a lot of people saying, Dan Kelly can't win. We got to vote for Doro, okay? Well, Dan Kelly did win. He beat Doro in the primary, okay? So now you have to hope people forgot that and that they're fighting for Kelly. I'm fighting for Kelly. Jennifer Doro came out right away and endorsed Dan Kelly right away. That's great. And another congressman, I won't mention his name here, but a congressman, he said, you know, only Doro can win, but he's immediately came forward very prominently in favor of Kelly. So I have to give them credit for that. But that's why I do not like the rhetoric when I hear someone can't win. Of course, they said that about Trump as well. Trump can't win, right? He can't win the primary. He can't win the general. But he did win the primary and the general. And he probably had it stolen in the last election. And frankly, when he was running, before he was even running for president, everybody said he wasn't going to run for president. He's never going to run for president. He's just doing this for publicity. Remember that?
Yeah.
So the experts have been wrong on Trump over and over and over and over again. And I would say that the 2020 election was the combination of, first of all, they did steal a lot of votes. And secondly, the virus is the one thing that really did harm Trump's chances. The virus crashed the economy. They blamed Trump for all the dead people. They also made it hard for Trump to throw his giant rallies. They also allowed Joe Biden to sit in his basement and let the media run his campaign. And it also screwed up the investigation against the criminals in the Mueller team. That investigation didn't really go anywhere, and a lot of it was because of the virus. They couldn't do the investigation because of that virus. So the virus was really damaging to Trump. Trump would have easily been reelected without that virus, which is obviously created in a bioweapons lab, probably shipped over to China after Trump won the election, but before he was sworn in, they probably shifted it over to China. Dr. Fauci was obviously involved to some extent, and that's the rest is history. That's the way it is, though, in a ruthless political climate, is you have to do – that's what these people do. These people have no moral standards. They'll do anything they can to beat you, okay? We're in a war, and in some sense of the matter is Trump has to come back and win, okay? The greatest generals of all time – would sometimes lose, but come back and win. You know, and the best example of this is Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar actually occasionally lost a battle, but every time he lost a battle, he came back and crushed the opposition in the next battle. And that's what Trump has to do. If Trump really wants to go down in history as one of the greatest people of all time, he has to be reelected president, and then he has to smash the New World Order, smash the deep state. And what he needs is, he not only needs to win, he needs to have a pro-Trump Senate. That's the most important thing that he didn't even have a pro-Trump Congress the last time, because he had Paul Ryan in the first 2 years, who was not very good, and then he had Nancy Pelosi, who was, of course, worthless in the second 2 years. He did pick up two Senate seats in 2018. So he had 51 senators the first 2 years and 53 senators the second 2 years. But the problem was there was a lot of rhinos in the Senate. Now, one of the things that it's being overlooked, by the way, with these elections is that the number of rhinos is rapidly decreasing. And just even in the last election where people blamed Trump, people forgot that he got J.D. Vance in there. And he also got Ted Budd from North Carolina in there. He also got rid of rhinos. So lots of rhinos, even though in some cases a Democrat won the seat, the rhinos are not there, and rhinos can't vote for Mitch McConnell. Democrats don't vote for Mitch McConnell, and rhinos don't vote for Mitch McConnell. And we actually got rid of Rob Portman in Ohio, Roy Blunt in Missouri, and we got a new senator that's pro-Trump in Missouri, by the way. We also got rid of Pat Toomey. Pat Toomey, what did he do when he was in the Senate? All he did is complain about Trump and vote for impeachment and vote to remove him from office. Going back to Rob Portman was on the Gang of Eight. So what does that tell you? And then we also got rid of Richard Burr in North Carolina. Richard Burr was the Senate chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's the same committee that was overseeing the Mueller probe and stuff like that. He was crooked as hell. And corrupt, and a rhino, a big spending rhino. Well, he's gone too. So we got rid, and also Ben Sasse is gone from Nebraska. He's another guy who hates. He has nothing else to do apparently but complain about Trump and vote to impeach him. He's gone. So there's a lot less support for Mitch McConnell than there used to be. That's why Rick Scott of Florida is catching up to him in support now with Mitch McConnell's health issues. And his term, I think he has a term that goes until 2026, unfortunately. But Mitch McConnell, you know, might not be back in 2024 if Trump gets reelected and sweeps in a few senators. Then we might be able to get rid of Mitch McConnell in 2024.
You know, he's suffering from this. He's suffering from this medical problem from his fall, Rob.
Yeah,
I think he might not
old
even.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Old people. I mean, I don't want to wish them bad luck because of a health issue, but the fact is that we're a lot better off without them. And also, the Senate map is extremely favorable in 2024 for Republicans. The Democrats have to defend. I'm going to list off a bunch of states that they have to defend: Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Virginia, where they have Tim Kaine. Joe Manchin is up in West Virginia. John Tester is up in, I think that's Montana. Then there's also that crooked guy, Menendez from New Jersey, is up. And then there's also senators up in Nevada and Arizona. So, and I may have missed a couple. There's a whole bunch of states where Republicans will either have a chance or a really good chance of winning. A lot of states. There's like 12 to 14 states. And some senators have already, one senator already announced they weren't running for re-election. I can't remember who it was anymore. But in Wisconsin, we have various people looking at running for the U.S. Senate. And one guy that I really like, if he runs, is Eric Hovde. He's very pro-liberty, and he's an expert on finance. He's a great candidate. Another candidate who's been thrown out is Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher's done a good job. He's a member of Congress right now, and he has done work on the origins of the COVID virus, sometimes on national television. He would probably be he'd be similar to Ron Johnson. And then another candidate, well, I don't want to mention the other candidates because there's some bad candidates too, but there's good candidates, other good candidates as well. Obviously, if someone like Rebecca Clefish ran or Kevin Nicholson ran, they're good candidates too. So depending on who is the best candidate would be decided in the primary, but I like all those candidates. So we're going to have a good candidate. We need a candidate that's going to be a good candidate and be pro-Trump, but we also need a candidate who can win. Okay. Now, one candidate who's very bad, if this candidate runs, you want to do this person is anti-Trump, is a person named Terrence Wall. If he runs for Senate, we do not want him because he's anti-Trump. And hopefully he won't win. He did run against Ron Johnson, you know, in 2010, but he was beaten by Ron Johnson and dropped out in the primary. So there are those are some of the people. This is just Wisconsin. I'm not an expert in other states, but you know, Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota, a lot of people think she's a good strong candidate because she's popular in Minnesota, but is she really that popular in Minnesota? If they had a good candidate in the overall voter climate, the overall voter climate is leans Republican right now, and it may lean Republican even more. We were supposed to have a red wave last election. We didn't really have a red wave, but we did overall did do very well. We won the national popular vote by 3 million votes in the House and took the House back. For example, in Wisconsin, we picked up, I believe, 3 assembly seats and we picked up one congressional seat in Wisconsin. We also picked up the state treasurer, and I think we picked up a seat in the state Senate. We have a super majority there. So we had minor success. We didn't win the governor's race, but the governor actually ran a great campaign in the primary, but not a great campaign in the general. But in other states, another state is Michigan. Stabenow, no, I can't remember. Is that the one who said she's not running again? In Michigan, you know, there's going to be a strong Republican running there. Then there's Pennsylvania, and Ohio, I believe, have candidates up. Ohio is a state that's turning red. We could win there. I think the candidate in Pennsylvania's name is Bob Casey or something like that. He's not a sure thing to be reelected. Then you have, I mentioned Tim Kaine in Virginia, one of the worst vice presidential candidates in history. Joe Manchin in West Virginia is a state that's almost every county in West Virginia is red. So how in the hell is he going to win? I don't think he could win. I think he would definitely lose. I was hoping he would just switch parties. John Tester is in a state that's considered a red state. It's considered a safe seat for Republicans in presidential elections. Plus, he'd be remember, it's harder for a Republican or it's harder to win if you're in a statewide race, if you're in the minority party, if it's a presidential year. So in other words, John Tester, when he was elected last time, was a non-presidential election. But this year, it'll be a presidential election. So whether it's Trump or DeSantis, Tester's going to have to run against all the people voting for president in his state. That's going to make it much more difficult, and that applies to all these other candidates, like including Joe Manchin. And then out in Arizona, we know how corrupt Arizona is. We know that Carrie Lake was cheated out of her position, but that Senate seat is up again. We're going to redo the whole thing, but it'll be in a presidential year. And then, of course, Nevada is another state where, you know, people have a more of a libertarian bent. It's a rural state, and there's legal gambling. So a lot of people are, you know, they're more of a libertarian. They have a libertarian. They like the government, get the government out of it, you know, use it just to regulate these industries. So the point of all this is that if Trump is running for president, he can help sweep in a few Republican senators or more. In 2014, the Republicans, I believe, picked up 9 Senate seats. Did you know that? 9 Senate seats in 2014. You can pick up, if the chips fall the right way, you can pick up 5 or 10 Senate seats. And that's all that Trump needs. If we really pick that many Senate seats up, there's a better chance that McConnell will go because he won't have the votes. And if he doesn't go, he'll be weakened and he'll have to do what Kevin McCarthy's doing. Kevin McCarthy seems like he's 100% pro-Trump right now, doesn't he? Well, that's because he has to be pro-Trump because the power lays with Trump in the House. Okay? Mitch McConnell is getting closer and closer to being like that. And actually, Mitch McConnell did a hell of a good job getting judges confirmed. The last 2 years of Trump's presidency, Mitch McConnell got a lot of judges confirmed. Now, he's not doing a very good job of blocking the judges right now that Democrats are putting up, but he did do a great job of getting Kavanaugh through, Neil Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett. So he's already a mixed bag. I'd like to see him gone, but he has done some good things. What we really need, though, is a senator who does almost everything good, right? Someone like Ron Johnson or Rand Paul. That's what we need. Maybe Rick Scott. Rick Scott is the most likely person who would be the head of the Senate, by the way. So keep an eye on him. So I'm looking forward to the presidential election. I'm looking forward to the Dan Kelly race. I want to do another shout out for Dan Kelly. Are we going to play that song, by the way, on the radio?
Absolutely, okay. Rolf.
Well, why don't we play it once before the break?
You got it, Rolf. You want to give us a little background about this song when Democrats went down to Georgia?
Yes, it's based on, obviously, the Charlie Daniels song. It started out inspired by that song, that the devil went down to Georgia. In the original song, Charlie Daniels is arguing with the devil about who can play the fiddle better.
Yeah.
And in this song, Trump is arguing with the Democrats and the devil, because the devil and the Democrats are kind of the same thing, about who can steal elections and votes and who can stop the steal. You got it?
Mitchell. Yeah, Mitchell, let's play Rolf's song.
Hey, let's hear it.
The Democrats went down to Georgia. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a vote to steal. He was in a bind. Biden was behind. He wanted to make a steal. He found suitcases under a table filled with Biden votes a lot. The devil jumped on a video camera and said, boy, let's film what you got. I guess you didn't know it. I steal votes from you. If you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. You run a good campaign, Trump. Give the swamp its due. I bet a fiddle of Zuckerbucks. I can steal elections from you. And Trump said, my name's Donald. It might be a sin. I'll take your bet. You'll regret. I'm the best president who's ever been. Donald, gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get Biden. Yucks!
Don't gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get Biden's
arms. Adam Schiff opened up his mouth. Let's start the Schiff show. Fake news flew. The media was in tow. CNN spewed out bogus spin. Pelosi made an evil hiss. Liz Cheney joined in, sounding something like this.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change.
time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, Jim. Jim, get back in. Hey, bro.
Oh,
I'm
Mitch,
here.
There he is.
Mitchell,
I'm here. What about Hannah? Is Hannah on?
You want me to add her?
Rolf, listen, okay. We love the song. We love the salsa aspect. I want to play it again. And if Hannah
play it again.
Her voice, she is a great singer, Rob.
Oh, yeah, she's really good. Yeah. She's really good. Smoking Hot Hannah, we call her.
Let's play it again. Let's play it again.
All right.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a vote to steal. He was in a bind. Biden was behind. He wanted to make a steal. He found suitcases under a table filled with Biden votes a lot. The devil jumped on a video camera and said, "Boy, let's film what you got. I guess you didn't know it. I steal votes from you. If you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. You run a good campaign, Trump. Give the swamp its due. I bet a fiddle of Zuckerbucks.
Hello.
Elections from you.
Stand by, Hannah. We're playing your song.
Donald, great. I'm loving it.
Might be a sin. I'll take your bet. You'll regret. I'm the best president who's ever been. Donald, gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get Biden yucks.
Don't gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose,
We all get Biden's thumb.
Adam Schiff opened up his mouth. Let's start the Schiff show. Fake news flew. The media was in tow. CNN spewed out bogus spin. Pelosi made an evil hiss. Liz Cheney joined in, sounding something like this. Finished up his show, Donald said, "You son of a gun, sit down in that chair right there. I'll show you how Stop the Steal is done."
Spinning machines, run, what's run, craft in the house of the rising sun. 2,000 mules, both left his son. Red waves coming, life is fun.
Chuck Schumer bowed his head. He knew he'd been beat. He laid the Zuckerbucks Donald Trump's feet. Trump said, "Devil come back in 24 if you want to try again. You son of a gun, I'm the best president who's ever been."
Spinning machines, the time for regret. You know an elephant will never forget. Top secret found near Biden's Corvette. New York Post ain't seen nothing yet.
Dedicated to Charlie Daniels. Lyrics and vocals by Rolf Lindgren. Music and background vocals by Midi Salsa. Inspired by Charlie Daniels. Thank you.
Well, Rolf, Hannah has joined us here. She has a wonderful voice. Well, welcome to the Raw Deal, Hannah. We're delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much. I've really been enjoying listening to all of this information. And I agree with everything. I love it. It's so validating.
Rolf, go right ahead. Pick it up, my friend.
Okay, well, I wanted to let Hannah talk more this segment, but she's got a really, really good singing voice, that's for sure. And she arranged the music and plays the keyboard, too. So she's a multi-talented individual. And her band is called Midi Salsa, by the way. You can find them on Facebook.
Yeah, Hannah, tell us about yourself and your work and all that.
Well, my band, Midi Salsa, we're a Latin dance band. And about a year ago, I started going to the Republican Party Pints and Politics. And I really found a home there. I so much enjoyed listening to all of the candidates. And each and every one was just so impressive. And I saw all of these talented people give their speeches, and then I would see them lose. And I thought, life is not fair, but it's a lesson. They just kept working, and they kept running again. And just so inspiring to be around these leaders in the Republican Party. And then meeting Rolf, and he talked to me about these lyrics that he had written as a parody to The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And so we talked about doing it. And then I listened to it. And then I turned it into salsa, because that is the kind of music that we are doing. And it converted into salsa very readily. And then he finished the lyrics. And then we pulled it together. And my bass player, Carlos Ramos Ortaleza, I want to give him credit. He not only is a fabulous bass player, but he also has a recording studio, and he recorded it. And Josh Velasquez is a wonderful guitarist on the guitar solo.
Well, I think the salsa aspect is just sensational. I mean, it's just wonderful to have that variation on the song. And of course, the lyrics Rolf has adapted are perfect politically. Rolf, did you have anything in there about those Dominion voting machines?
Dominion machines are mentioned in the chorus. Dominion machines, run, boys, run, graft in the house of the rising sun. That's the line where it's
excellent,
mentioned.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
We tried to get every buzzword in there that would outrage Democrats and make Republicans chuckle. So we got Stop the Steal, Trump, Biden, The Schiff Show, Liz Cheney, Chuck Schumer, everybody, Nancy Pelosi. We got every buzzword in there that we could squeeze into the lyrics.
Well, you did a great job with it.
It was on the Gateway Pundit put it up last week, and it got over 24,000 hits already on Rumble. So you can find this song on Rumble right now. It's called, they have it listed as the Devil Went Down to Georgia 2024 version. And you can also find it on the Gateway. If you search the Gateway Pundit, you can find the article there as well. So,
Rolf, I think you have a new career here as a salsa politico singer, man.
Yeah, there we go.
Hannah,
right.
Well,
we're hoping to play at the national convention and also to have Trump play this at his rallies. That would be actually even better because he has a lot of rallies. Just think if people at the rallies hear this song, can you imagine what would happen? I mean, it would be bananas. I mean, people would just be going crazy. So, this song, we got to get out to President Trump. Hopefully President Trump has heard it by now. Maybe he hasn't heard it. Maybe Donald Trump Jr. or someone like that. But someone eventually is going to hear it. The song, I believe, is first of all, it's very high quality. It's also transformed. And we're doing this not for commercial gain. So we're not selling the song or anything like that. We're supporters of Charlie Daniels, who unfortunately has passed away, but he was a big Trump supporter. The song has been massively transformed from the original. So I don't believe it's a fair use, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
The guitar solo is not found in the original. Of course, the singing is completely different. The lyrics are different. And even the salsa beat.
But there's not an issue here. I mean, from my experience with copyright and all that, absolutely not. You're clear. I mean, this is a completely different idea here. Very original.
I'm not trying to make any money on this song. And the song, I believe, has several aspects that make it good. First of all, Hannah's singing voice is awesome. Now, my singing voice is, let's say it's different, okay? And ultimately, a different singing voice is very helpful in singing. Even if you're not necessarily the greatest singer, I do have a fairly deep voice, which helps. But take a singer like Neil Young, for example. Okay, he's got a high, squeaky voice. Okay, but he's very different. If you didn't know who Neil Young was and you heard him sing, you might think he sucked. But as soon as you got used to him, then you think he's really good. Of course, he became a left winger, so I don't really like him as much as I used to. That's just one example. Brian Ferry from Roxy Music is another example. So anyways, that's one aspect of the song that makes it memorable. The lyrics, of course, have three different things that make them catchy. One is, of course, their lyrics are very funny, or they would outrage a liberal. Number two, even though they're funny lyrics, they bring up serious issues. It's a serious issue that we can make sure our voting machines work properly. It's a serious issue whether, you know, the media is trying to twist the news. These are serious issues. And also its concept of good and evil and the devil, you know, is the devil really infesting the Democrats? The Democrats, I mean, I can't imagine how anyone who's an honest and forthright person could be a Democrat these days. And then, of course, the song has a narrative quality to it, so that means you have to listen to it a few times to really kind of catch the narrative. Some, you know, many lyrics of rock and roll songs are pretty lame. They're dumb. They're not really that interesting. If there's good music, you don't care what the lyrics are. These lyrics are kind of a narrative. A good example of a song that's kind of like this would be Hurricane by Bob Dylan. Have you heard that one? Where Hurricane Carter is falsely accused, the boxer Hurricane Carter is falsely accused of a murder. And there was a movie made out about it as well with, I forgot who the star was, but it's a pretty good song. It came out in 1975 by Bob Dylan. So that's an example of a narrative song. There's another Bob Dylan song recently came out called Murder Most Foul, where he sings a song about the JFK assassination. And of course he doesn't think that it was done by Oswald as a lone gunman. So there are songs that have narratives to them. Other narrative songs that are much simpler are these, you know, lots of love songs. You know, those are sometimes you could call those narratives as well. But as far as historical narratives or as narratives about events, there are some out there, but sometimes the music isn't as good. Like the music on the song Hurricane by Bob Dylan, that's a really good song because the music is really good. The song, Bob Dylan's song on the JFK called Murder Most Foul, that song is good too, but the music isn't really as good in that one. I wouldn't say it's good music, but it's not great. So that's another element. Then we have the guitar solo that breaks the song up, which is completely original, very, very good guitar solo, not just a routine guitar solo, but a really well above average guitar solo. And then the singing with the girls singing in the background, and that's a good contrast with my singing to make the song different. So there's a lot of things in the song to make it very high quality. I think it has the potential to be a massive worldwide hit all over the globe. What do you guys think?
Oh, no doubt about it, Rob. Massive worldwide. Go ahead, Adam.
I support.
Very funny. You do have a great voice, and I love you on this song. Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Rolf, we're glad to open the lines to callers, by the way, but you're welcome, you and Hannah both, to add further thoughts either before we do or as we go along.
Okay, why don't we just open up for phone calls now?
If
anybody's calling in. What's the phone number again to call in?
540-352-4452.
What was that again?
352-4452.
Okay, good. Excellent. That sounds good. I hope somebody calls in.
Oh, I don't doubt they will. Mitchell, let me get your thoughts, Mitchell. How do you like the song? I think it's pretty terrific.
Hey, Jim. Hi, Rolf. And is it Carol, I believe?
Hannah.
Yeah. Hey, God bless you guys. Yeah. There's no doubt that... you know, the Democrats have found a way to beat Trump, and that's at night as he sleeps with ballot boxes. So, that's pretty much the story. There was a story came out, I might have been even on Gateway Pundit, about the about Eric on sharing data with third-party organizations and stuff. So, you know, this realm of ballot stuffing in the 23rd or 21st second century, you know, it is happening. You know, I mean, we're seeing it right now. And people don't realize how many ghost voters, you know, have been... put into the system, and then because they continually vote, it's really never questioned. But I believe it's a massive problem myself. Yeah. Go ahead.
Rolf.
Okay. Well, I want to comment. I want to go get back to some of the Trump stuff here.
Yes.
The thing about charging Trump now, this is why Trump is so brilliant, okay? Trump puts out a truth, so she calls it a truth, that he's going to be arrested on Tuesday. Okay, so everybody starts talking about Trump being arrested. Now, here's the problem the Democrats have. First of all, there's a massive amount of Democrats who think Trump is a criminal and he should be arrested and has to be arrested, right? So if Trump isn't arrested, these Democrats are going to be like, oh, I'm so sick of this. How come they're not arresting Trump? What's wrong with these people? Trump is a, you know, they're going to lose their enthusiasm to vote and to do campaign work or whatever if Trump isn't arrested, you see? So you have to consider what happens if Trump is arrested, but what if Trump isn't arrested? What happens? Okay? So you have all these Democrats, they're going to be upset if Trump isn't arrested. Then you have the people who are like, well, wait a minute now, what if we do arrest Trump, it'll make him into a martyr, it'll help him in the primary. Do we really want President Trump running in the general again? Because think about it, these people are deathly afraid of Trump for many reasons. They do not want Trump to be president. Do they really want to take a chance, even if they think Trump would lose in the general? Do they really want to take – does George Soros really want to take a chance again with Trump in the general? Think about it. I don't think that they do. Even if they think Trump is slightly less likely to win than, say, DeSantis, even if they actually believe that, why would they want to take a chance at all? Okay? Okay, that's another problem. So the problem is, of course, we talked about in the first hour how weak the case is. Trump is just going to have a field day on this case because people will zero in on the case. Instead of all the talk about other things that Trump did, they'll have to talk about this case for at least a while. And, of course, this case could easily be thrown out in 6 months. Okay, well, the election is in 20 months. Even if it's thrown out in 15 months, it's still well before the election. Okay, I mean, what are they really going to do? And by the way, if Trump got put on trial, he'd probably be convicted in New York. Of course, if Trump was put on trial for killing Abraham Lincoln in New York, he'd probably be convicted. Okay, the real issue is the legal fights that go on back and forth, all the different legal challenges to this case that would happen. Think about all the different legal cases, and Trump will be busy tweeting and truthing and whatever he's doing, and that'll just help his website. His website is growing. I heard that he finally hit 5 million followers on True Social. Now, that's not as many as he used to have. I think he had 80 million or something. So he's not up to there, but the 5 million that he has are, you know, the 5 million followers that he has now are all followers, basically. And on Twitter, he had a lot of probably leftover followers from when he was a Democrat years ago. So he's got very heavy interreactions. I looked at how many people like his tweets and retweet them, and he's not quite up to where Elon Musk is yet on Twitter. He's not quite there, but he's in the ballpark already with how many people read his tweets on True Social. So he's building up his audience.
We do have a caller here, Saul from Colorado. Saul, I'm just delighted to have you calling in. Long time no hear. Speak. Join us.
Hey, Ralph and Hannah. That's some great stuff. Get ready for them to say you're culturally appropriating salsa music just because you do it better and have, you know, a grasp on things and a good sense of humor all the way. But I got to say to all of you, including you, Jim, I wish you guys would acknowledge some of the things that Trump's done that aren't good. All this, March for Life. And Trump gave more money to Planned Parenthood than the Obama administration. These are facts. And I don't like the facts either. But it's forced me to look at every angle of everything in any way I can. And I think it's really important that you all look at everything. And I'll tell you, if RFK Jr. runs, I would certainly vote for him over Trump because he didn't lock down this country. He didn't wasn't the root cause of all this carnage in America and loss of business and everything like that. This was a bad decision, and you can't change that now. And I also think that Rolf and Hannah, you should sell your music too. There's nothing wrong with being entrepreneurial about it. Make some CDs, make some vinyl records. If you put anything on vinyl lately, and it takes a while, and it's expensive, but it's really cool. You know, there's a big resurgence, even in audio cassettes, they're back. So I just wanted to say, I hope you all would make considerations to that. And I would appreciate it, even if you disagree, that George Soros is saying that he supports Ron DeSantis. I mean, this could be a farce to try and get people to walk away from DeSantis. I don't know, because I don't have the time to investigate it. This is what you do, James. And, you know, I'd like you to look into it and say, this is wrong for this reason, or whatever. But, you know, all of you, Jim was nice enough to have me do the 25 best Beatles songs show with him a couple years ago. I believe it was July 3rd, 2021. On his BitChute channel, and I really enjoyed that. And you know, I'd really like to do another show with you again about the Beatles, because I know a lot more than I ever have. Gone deep diving, and it's just really, really great. So I don't want to dissuade from Hannah and Rolf, particularly since they're your guests. And I'm really elated with your presentation of music, and it's very good quality, and I would like to buy it as a consumer, not like on a download. My eyesight's getting progressively worse, and I like physical media, because, you know, I can hold it in my hands and it's there, and, you know, it's not going to disappear if I do something stupid with my data or whatever. But
So
I really love you all, and I appreciate everything that all of you do.
So we're hitting a break, but stay on the line. I want to have Rolf respond to you, and we have tremendous debates here about Trump pro and con on this show. So you're right.
Yeah, that is true. I can't argue with you on that, sir.
So we'll be right back with Rolf Lindgren, Hannah, and Saul.
Great input.
I don't think I got anything more to say right now.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m.
Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I see Jim's rolling back slow again. Hey, everybody. Hi, Rolf and
I'm here.
I like that. I liked your song, by the way.
Oh, great. Glad to hear that. I hope you guys can play it again. I got some big news I just got. This came in. There's a new poll from the McLaughlin Group.
Uh-huh.
It says that Trump leads Biden head-to-head 48% to 43%, 48% to 43%. That's a 5-point margin, with only 9% going to other or undecided. A 5-point lead in the popular vote would be a massive victory in the Electoral College, probably about a 2-to-1 ratio, if he actually won by that. So this in the pollsters believe this is being driven by the news of the arrest of Trump. And this is just shows you that this arrest, there's a lot of people out there, and the caller who called in last just at the end of the last show, he's one of these guys who, I know that he doesn't like Democrats. Okay, I get that. He says some things he doesn't like about Trump. He has other reasons he does like Trump. Okay, he's the kind of guy who, if Trump is arrested, would probably start to go more over towards Trump, because there's lots of people who have reasons not to like Trump. I think he's a racist or something, or he doesn't like women or something like that. Once you start to charge Trump with these bogus charges, people who are like, think, oh, he's a racist, and they might think, wait a minute, now, is this guy really a racist? What is going on here? Why is he being charged for something like this? You know, and what's happening is undecided voters are going to start moving into the Trump column. And this poll, which is, I found this poll is an example of it. And of course, Trump is way ahead of DeSantis. There's a poll, the most recent poll from Harvard Harris has Trump beating DeSantis 50% to 24%. And every single poll, the most recent 8 polls on the Real Clear Politics archive, every single one has Trump ahead, except for the CNN poll claims that DeSantis beats Trump by 2%. What do you think that means? Have you heard the conspiracy theory that the liberals want Trump to win the nomination so he'll lose the general? This proves that that's not true, because CNN is the most liberal poller out there, and they actually have DeSantis winning. Other polls have Trump up by 30%, 29%, 26%, 15%, 14%, 8%. But when all of a sudden CNN comes along and, oh, Trump's losing by 2%. So it's not believable. And like I said, these polls are older polls. Now, if Trump gets arrested, that's going to help Trump. So that's my opinion. But I think you'll see that that's happening. What does everybody else think about this?
Well, Saul seemed to think we're just naive in supporting Trump and don't recognize he has flaws. The problem is every candidate has flaws. And he's enthusiastic about Bobby Jr. Well, I like him a lot. I think RFK Jr. is a superb guy. I don't know how he would or wouldn't go for the general election, but obviously Saul's welcome to support the candidate of his choice. I just don't see another candidate out there who can do as much good for America. And I think the business, about the lockdowns and all that, I don't actually think Trump was for it, but he certainly was in office when it happened, and therefore he's held responsible. Rolf.
Well, most of those lockdowns were done by Democrat governors, not by Trump. The federal government was remarkably lenient on anything. He did at one point say, okay, let's try 2 weeks to stop the spread. Okay, he just did that to see if Fauci was telling the truth or not. Okay, after 2 weeks, it didn't stop the spread, did it? Okay, and as far as locking stuff down, Trump would have authority over federal buildings. Trump didn't do lockdowns and mandates in federal buildings, to my knowledge. I don't remember it. It was the state governors, mostly Democrat, and sometimes the Rhino governors would do it as well. Trump actually was a remarkably lenient. Can you imagine what would have happened if another president, whether it be Clinton, Obama, Bush, McCain, or Romney, can you imagine if any of them had been the president during this virus attack? You know how much different it would have been than what Trump did? Trump had to make some limited concessions. Essentially, think of it this way. We're in a war right now. What did Clausewitz say? War is the extension of politics.
By other means.
By other means. We're in a war right now with these people, and they got some leverage on Trump with this virus. When this virus was released, they had some leverage because they scared a lot of people. Some people died. They scared people. Trump had to make some limited concessions to these people, just enough to keep him politically viable. He didn't want to throw away the whole election over something like this, so he did make some limited concessions. But he also did one spending bill in May of 2020. There was one spending bill. That's it, though. They wanted another spending bill. Remember that other spending bill? That never got passed. They were pushing for another spending bill. So Trump did a spending bill that was smaller than what the Democrats wanted. And frankly, there was only one spending bill, and that's because the people were really scared. March, April, May, by June, July, people weren't as scared anymore, and Trump did not need to do another spending bill. He didn't need to, because that's how they get these spending bills through. By the way, how do they do it? They get the media to make people think we need a spending bill. And that's the problem is the news media has a lot of power. They don't have as much power as they used to. They used to be able to pick the winners of every presidential election since JFK was killed. That's how much power they have, until Trump came along. Okay? They used to have the power not only to pick the winner of the presidential election, they used to have the power to pick the nominee from the major parties in every election. Well, that's done in the Republican Party, which is going to be the third straight Republican year where the Republican candidate was not picked by the national news media. Three in a row. So it's going to be almost ancient history since Mitt Romney was the nominee in 2012. That'll be ancient history for people. That makes a difference in our... One of the things that President Trump has done is made the two-party system relevant. I was in the Libertarian Party for 25 years, and one of the biggest problems we had with the government was that the Democrats and the Republicans were equally bad. In the 80s, 90s, 2000s, they were equally bad. And it started with Ron Paul running as a Republican, and then the Tea Party movement started, which was good. It wasn't as good as Ron Paul, but it was good. It was bigger than Ron Paul as far as news coverage and support. Then you had Rand Paul, and then all of a sudden, out of the nowhere, Trump came along. Okay, Trump wouldn't have been able to make it without Ron Paul, Rand Paul, and the Tea Party movement. He wouldn't have been able to make it. But also, Trump came along as the news media was shifting away from the three major TV networks and shifting towards more online news. And Facebook helped Trump get elected in 2016. Then they started to clamp down on him in 2017. I was banned from Facebook in 2021. But Facebook originally was helping Trump. Rand Paul, when he got elected to the U.S. Senate in 2010, he got elected because of Facebook. He had a massive network of Facebook supporters who were impervious to these bogus attacks that were made against Rand Paul. And Rand Paul was, people don't remember it now, but Rand Paul was attacked similar to how Trump is attacked. Not as bad, but still bad. But once you have this giant network of supporters, these attacks are refuted, debunked, and ultimately they don't work. Facebook started out, and this is the same as with Google. Google and Facebook started out as libertarian news mediums, you might say. They started out libertarian. As soon as they built up their supporters and their power, then they shifted gradually to being like Democrats and statists. That's what happened. And this is actually the nature of power. Look at the TV networks. When they started in the late 40s and early 50s, the TV networks didn't have a big audience back then. They had to build an audience with good news reporting. They had to build up their audience. Okay? Then once they built up their audience, then they started to become slightly more biased and more biased and more biased. And gradually, you know, we used to have guys like Walter Cronkite, who was okay, pretty good. But even going back to when JFK was killed, the TV networks bought into the entire Lee Harvey Oswald story. So you could say that that's the beginning of the decline of the TV networks as far as being, because by that time most people had TVs. But in the 60s and 70s, yeah, they had a liberal bias, people would say. It was just a liberal bias. It wasn't that bad. How many people now would say, oh, CNN has a liberal bias? I mean, it sounds dumb because it's so much worse than a liberal bias that if you just said they have a liberal bias, it's like almost like a joke. And the media has gradually become more and more statist, less pro-liberty. They used to be against racism. Now they promote racism. They used to, the TV networks used to promote religious liberty 50 years ago. Now they're against religious liberty. They used to be in favor of expanding democracy. Now they're in favor of, you know, making elections rigged with illegal voting schemes, ballot harvesting. So they've completely declined in their creditworthiness. So maybe this is the way it always is in societies. If you study history like I have, you'll notice that history doesn't, everything changes. If you look at history in 50-year chunks or 100-year chunks, things are always changing in history. They always change. And some people think that things never change. They don't seem like they change in 5 years, but if you study history, things do change. And Trump is one of the people making the changes. He's the guy who's driving the changes. He's pushing the envelope right now. We've got to get behind Trump in 2024. And we also have to get behind, in Wisconsin, Justice Dan Kelly for Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court's going to be taken over by these liberals if he doesn't win the election. A conservative judge is retiring, and it's an open seat, and there's two judges running here in Wisconsin. It's a nonpartisan race, but if you're in Wisconsin, we need you to vote for Dan Kelly. It's critical, because when Trump is running in 2024, we're going to need judges who don't vote for drop boxes all over the place and stuff like that. We had so much shenanigans with our voting here. We need to follow the law as written. We already have voting laws in Wisconsin of how they're supposed to be conducted. And the voting laws have been liberalized over the last 15 to 20 years. So they're not as good as they used to be, but we still have voter ID. The one thing we do have that we didn't have was voter ID. We have a voter ID law in Wisconsin that was pushed through by Governor Scott Walker. And all these things that the Democrats are doing is really an end run around voter ID. Mail-in voting is a joke, because how are you going to check someone's ID if you mailed it in your ballot? It's a joke. You can't check your ID if you mail in a ballot. The Democrats say, oh, you have to show the ballot, your ID, when you get the ballot. But of course, you don't really show your ID. You just, if you take your ID and photocopy it and send it in, they didn't look at your ID and look at you at the same time. They just looked at a photocopy of an ID. How do they know that you sent the ID in? It's a joke. And then, of course, when you mail the ballot back the second time, nobody checks the ID because they don't check it. So really, Scott Walker got us voter ID. We also used to have a 10-day limit on residency. I believe that's been expanded to 30 days or something like that. So it used to be you only had to live in Wisconsin for 10 days to be a legal voter. Now think about how unfair that is. Should someone who's lived here for 10 years have their vote canceled out by someone who lived here for 10 days? Think about it. If you go on vacation for 2 weeks, does that mean you're now a legal resident of Wisconsin? Say you're from Illinois and you come up to a cabin and stay for 2 weeks in your cabin. Does that make you a legal voter in Wisconsin? It shouldn't. But we got rid of the 10-day limit by Scott Walker, at least. So the vote for Dan Kelly is critical, and I want to urge everyone to support him now. The election's on April 4th. Now, we're getting close to the end of the show. What are the odds of playing the song one more time before the show's over?
Yeah, no, I like it. I was thinking about that myself. Mitchell,
how about a last
Mitchell.
Word from Hannah, too? Let's hear Hannah one
sure,
more time.
Yeah, sure, Hannah, go for it.
Yeah, Jim, thank you so much for having both of us on your show. This has just been fabulous, and I've enjoyed all the comments from the people who called in as well, and the Republican Party is just fabulous. I've never had so much fun. It's so interesting to listen to these discussions and the speeches. And hallelujah, and onwards to victory. Thank you.
Well, Hannah, it's just great to have you here, you and Rolf, too. And we're going to hear your song one more time. Mitchell, let's set it up.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a vote to steal. He was in a bind, Biden was behind. He wanted to make a steal. He found suitcases under a table, filled with Biden votes a lot. The devil jumped on a video camera and said, boy, let's film what you got. I guess you didn't know it. I steal votes from you. If you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. You run a good campaign, Trump. Give the swamp its due. I bet a fiddle of Zuckerbucks. I can steal elections from you. And Trump said, my name's Donald. It might be a sin. I'll take your bet. You'll regret
I'm the best president who's ever been. Donald, gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get Biden yucks.
Don't gear up your team. Play your lawyers hard. Election theft in Georgia. George Soros dealt the cards. If you win, you get this fiddle packed with Zuckerbucks. If you lose, we all get Biden's
arm. Adam Schiff opened up his mouth. Let's start the Schiff show. Fake news flew. The media was in tow. CNN spewed out bogus spin. Pelosi made an evil hiss. Liz Cheney joined in, sounding something like this. Finished up his show, Donald said, you son of a gun. Sit down in that chair right there. I'll show you how Stop the Steal is done.
Minion machines, run, boys, run. Grabbed in the house of the rising sun. 2,000 mules, both left his son. Red waves coming, life is fun.
Chuck Schumer bowed his head. He knew he'd been beat. He laid the Zuckerbucks at Donald Trump's feet. Trump said, devil come back in 24 if you want to try again. You son of a gun, I'm the best president who's ever been.
Minion machines, no time for regret. You know an elephant will never forget. Top secret found near Biden's Corvette. New York Post, nothing yet.
Dedicated to Charlie Daniels. Lyrics and vocals by Rolf Lindgren. Music and background vocals by Midi Salsa. Inspired by Charlie Daniels. Thank you.
Well, we thank you and Hannah, Rolf. It was just wonderful having the two of you on here. I think it is a great song. I'm glad it's getting a lot of plays out there. And I thought your commentary today was spot on. Give us a few more thoughts you may have about moving in. I don't think they can possibly run with Biden anyway. So who do you think the Democrats are going to go for?
Okay. Well, right now, Biden has not announced that he's running for re-election yet, by the way. So, you know, we're almost to the point where, you know, normally they would be announcing it. Obviously, Biden is not a very good candidate. He's also could have health problems. He's already got mental problems. Their second best candidate is probably Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom has some advantages. He's not old. He's very personable. He looks like a, you know, kind of a rollicking guy. You know, he's the kind of guy who makes you think, oh yeah, this guy's cool. This guy likes me. He's got a rollicking guy. His biggest problem would be that he's from California. So if he actually decides to run, and he's not going to run unless Biden drops out, by the way, he would only run if Biden is dropped out. But the main argument against him would be that he's from California. So what the Republicans will do is say, California did this, California did this, California did that. And they'll just list all the different things that they do, all the woke garbage in California. They'll talk about San Francisco. They'll talk about the riots. And basically just anything that happens in California will be blamed on Gavin Newsom. Of course, a lot of it is his fault, or it's stuff that he agrees with that causes the problems. And even stuff that's not directly his fault, you know, people just say, well, look, the woke policies of California Democrats brought you this, you know, all the homeless people and the crime and the, you know, the crazy stuff where the government subsidizes almost anything under the sun that's woke. So he's their probably their best pick. Their third, their other obvious pick would be Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is actually less popular than Biden, and she's pretty much, I don't really see how she could work. She is the vice president, so that's an advantage, which is a problem for the Democrats. One of her problems is that she was the border czar. Okay, I think that they actually made her the border czar on purpose to basically take her out of the running as the presidential candidate. Because that's such a devastatingly bad thing to have on your record to be the border czar. And by the way, what is the border? How's the border in California, by the way, under Gavin Newsom? So the border's not very good under him either. But it would be easier to tie it to here. So my opinion is, frankly, Joe Biden was able to win the election. He won the election, of course, because of fraud and the media. The media can carry you only so far. There's got to be a limit of what the media can do. If it hadn't been for the virus, Biden wouldn't have won last time. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think that if I was in the Democrat Party, I would be behind the scenes trying to get Gavin Newsom to run. Some other candidates that are proposed are Pete Buttigieg. Okay, I don't know if America's going to go for a gay person who goes on maternity leave during a transportation crisis. I mean, why does he have to go on maternity leave when there's a transportation crisis? Is the show almost over?
Rolf, yeah, I'm very eager to get you back again, my friend. Okay. Excellent job. You and Hannah were terrific. Real pleasure to have you here as my guest. So,
okay, thank you very much.
Well done, Rolf.
I had a great time.
Yeah, terrific. Great to have you both. Love your song. Keep it up. Great work.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and